surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He's not describing our relationship to the saints as something where they are in a distant corner of the universe where they don't see us and they don't know what's going on. That's not the case. They've already run. They've already been on the track of the Hippodrome, of the Colosseum. They've already run the race successfully following Christ. And now that they have their crown, they haven't left. They've just gotten from the field to the stands.
Ancient Faith Radio and Patristic Nectar Publications present The Arena, Sunday homilies and theological reflections with Father Josiah Trenum. Father Josiah is the pastor of St. Andrew Orthodox Christian Church in Riverside, California. He is also the founder of Patristic Nectar Publications, a nonprofit organization committed to nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers. For more information on Patristic Nectar Publications, please visit our website at www.patristicnectar.org. And now, Father Josiah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
I greet you, brothers and sisters, on this All Saints Sunday, the Sunday always that follows Holy Trinity Sunday, what we call Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended from heaven and made manifest in the experience of Christians the presence and inspiration of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Church has chosen to call Pentecost Sunday Holy Trinity Sunday for that very reason. It's known by that name in the Church as well. And following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is this feast, the Feast of All Saints. They follow organically, naturally. The presence of the Holy Spirit on the earth, in the Church, makes saints. Necessarily. And following All Saints Sunday, we launch into the Apostles' Fast, so that we can be about becoming saints. You see the logic of the Church. Holy Spirit, celebrating the redemption of our Savior, the climax of His redemptive work, the Holy Spirit coming forth to apply that salvation to us on the inside. And we, wanting to obtain it, launch out ourselves, starting tomorrow, as we do each year, in a fast, in imitation of the apostles, who you heard in the gospel lesson today, left all in response to Christ's saving acts. They gave up everything. They exalted Him as number one. The Church is a factory of the saints. We are a center that produces relics. And for us, living with the lives of the saints, pursuing sainthood, praying to the saints, seeing them on the wall of our church and our home, this is absolutely normal. Sainthood, brothers and sisters, is possible, and sainthood is normal. If you don't think it's possible, then you doubt the power of God that was manifest on Pentecost and that exists in the Church. And if you don't think it's normal, then you're making a commentary about Jesus and His own humanity, because all a saint is a little Christ. Jesus is the prototypical man. He is the model saint, a true holy one, and a true human being. And the process of becoming saints means becoming like Him. Therefore, it's normal to pursue holiness. What's abnormal is not. What's really queer, twisted, and perverted is not loving God and not dwelling in a realm of love and holiness as the saints do. That's strange. It might be common, but it's not normal. Our very humanity rebels against it. To become a saint is God's will for all of us. This is what was behind those beautiful words that God said to Moses, and through Moses to the people of Israel, and through them to us. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's what the word saint means. Agios, holy one. For this reason, the lives of the saints are very important in our practice in the church, and reading the lives of the saints is absolutely central and traditional. It's essential to transformative Christian living. I've shared with you, I think, the story. It's related in modern times by a great saint who lived with us until 1956, St. Nikolai Velimirovich, who lived at St. Tikhon Seminary and pastored all across the country. St. Nikolai, who left us such things as his magnificent homilies, the prologue, collection of the lives of the saints himself that he wrote, he describes in the life of our Holy Father Kallistratos the right mentality that we have towards the saints and what we think about the saints. Listen to this. This is a quote from St. Nikolai describing Kallistratos. He says, for Kallistratos, reality was in those who existed beyond the icons and the frescoes, the saints who were depicted, those who moved about him, clothed in flesh and blood and wrapped in clothing, seemed to him just symbolic and deceptive, like shadows. That would be a commentary about us, by the way. Though dead, he considered the saints his true friends, but the living he considered uncertain. When one bishop asked him, what is the most important thing for a priest? Kallistratos answered, the most important is to communicate first with the master and afterwards with the lords of the master's servants and finally with the master's servants themselves. The master is Christ, and the master's servants' lords are the saints, but the master's servants are the people of this world. This is how Kallistratos, how central he thought, brothers and sisters, the saints were. They're real. All of us are potentialities. We're trying to become real. We're hoping one day to be real and to be human. So don't be confused because you see the saints in just these simple dimensions on the wall. It's the best we can do to depict the reality, their very real presence with Christ and in the church and with us. And we Orthodox, we don't know a Christian life that doesn't involve studying the lives of the saints. We don't know that. You know, if you go to a bookstore, there's still a few of those in existence, aren't there? Yeah, I think so. I know there's one off of Tyler. You go over there to Barnes & Noble and you walk, you'll see so many books about how to be rich. So many books. And they're usually written by rich people. I mean, if you want to be rich, talk to rich people. If you want to be rich, you're not going to study books by people who are poor, even if they think they have great ideas. St. John of Kronstadt says, just like there's rich people and poor people in the physical world, in the spiritual world, there are rich people and there are poor people. The rich people are the saints. The poor people are ourselves. And just like we want to learn from those who have mastered the tangible things of the earth, if you want to master tangible things, if you want to master the heart, and you want to become a person who can stand before Christ, then we must attend to the instructions of those who've done them, the saints themselves. This is why we read their lives. This is why we study their lives. For inspiration. One of the differences between rich people who want to teach poor people how to be rich, and the saints who want to teach us poor how to be holy, is that rich people want people to buy their books so they become more rich. But the saints actually care about us. They're actually invested. You don't actually have to twist a saint's arm to help you. You don't. It's described in the epistle lesson today. Their attitude towards us is described in the epistle lesson today from Hebrews. So beautiful. St. Paul says that after listing so many incredible saints, the entire 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is just a recitation of one incredible man and one incredible woman after another. People who, in his words, by faith conquered. And then saying that, he says, surrounded, he's writing now to the Christians who received his letter, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Did you hear that? Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He's not describing our relationship to the saints as something where they are in a distant corner of the universe where they don't see us and they don't know what's going on. That's not the case. They've already run. They've already been on the track of the Hippodrome, of the Colosseum. They've already run the race successfully following Christ. And now that they have their crown, they haven't left. They've just gotten from the field to the stands. You know, if some of you have been watching the NBA championships, in moderation, of course, in moderation, you'll often see players who are making a run and are in the thick of a battle, turn to the crowd, you see them and they start going like this, right? What are they saying? They're saying, hey, we need you fans. Start yelling, raise the volume because it's gonna motivate us and we have to have that encouragement. Just so you know, you don't have to do that to the saints. The saints are not falling asleep because they've had a few too many beers in the stands. That is not what's happening. They are absolutely awake and they're fixed on you. Why? Because they care about you like their master does. The saints love us as Jesus loves us. And they're watching and they're there to help and they are quick to listen. And that's one of the miraculous icons of Our Lady. We call her quick to hear. And this describes all of the saints for us. We want to become like them. And if we want to become like them, we should be like them. And in the epistle lesson and in the gospel lesson, both characteristics of the saints are set before us. I mentioned one already, that they had faith. By faith they conquered, St. Paul says in Hebrews 11. This is number one. We should imitate their faith. This means, practically speaking, they were people who believed in God. They rested on God, not for other people, for themselves. Sometimes it's easy for us to believe that God can do something. He can transform those that we love. But do we believe that He can do that to us? The saints did. They had faith in God for themselves. They also had a love for Christ above all earthly loves. This is what our Savior asked for in the gospel. He said, if you love son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love husband or wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. Can you imagine someone saying that? Who could say that to you except Him? He didn't say, if you love drinking coffee more than me, you're not worthy of me. I mean, we could accept that. It might be a bitter acceptance, but we could accept that. But to say that you must have a greater love for Him than the greatest God-giving earthly love of a parent for his child, or a spouse, for a husband or a wife, No, this is a clear expression of our Savior's divinity. No earthly ruler would ever say such a thing. No great man of the earth can say, "You're not worthy of me unless you love me above every other love." We would think they're nuts and left their God. Faith and love for Christ above all things are qualities of the saints. But qualities that are mentioned in both the epistle and the gospel, there's one and only one. This is what I want to leave with you. If you want to imitate the saints, you have to have patience. St. Paul says at the end of the epistle reading that we have to run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. Just so you know, the race, that word race, many English translations use that word race because of the athletic contest of the image. He's talking about what's going on down there in the Colosseum and the stands. But the word is usually translated, well, I'll just tell you what it is in Greek because you can get it right away. Agon. It's usually translated struggle. From where we get agony. Yeah. That puts a different slant on what Paul's asking. Run the agon that is set before you with your eyes on Jesus. What he's saying is, whatever the struggle is that's yours, it's set before you by him. Run with faith, the faith of these people that I've just mentioned. Run the race with patience. And then in the gospel lesson, Jesus says the same thing. Peter says to him, "Lord, we left everything. We left everything to follow you. What is there for us?" And Jesus said this: "In the new world," sometimes it's translated "in the regeneration," "you will receive 100 times as much." Do you notice what he said? When? In the new world. Not now. Don't look for it now, brothers and sisters. Be patient now. Run the struggle that God has given you faithfully, and in the regeneration, you will bless yourself for every effort you exerted, every ounce of energy you offered for goodness, to do the right thing and to stay close to God. You will bless yourself for it because you will receive 100-fold for everything you gave up and everything you offered to God. He'll reward you. You know, in my house right now, wonders have been taking place. Yes, wonders. They're scientific wonders. My kids have been involved in a science project. And we have watched the mystery of eggs to larva to caterpillars to cocoons, and in the last 2 days to beautiful, beautiful butterflies. The kids, I hear screaming, and I run down there, and they have this special butterfly net where the cocoons were all nine cocoons were hanging, and they started to scream because they saw one of the butterfly wings come out of the cocoon. And they watched it for hours as it struggled to get out of that cocoon, to knock it open, and finally, when it comes forth, metamorphosis. Transfiguration at the end of the process. Now, do you know what happens if in your compassion you look at that struggling butterfly trying to get out of that cocoon and you say, "You know what? Oh, I feel so bad for it. I'm going to get a small pair of scissors and I'm just going to help it." And you go up there and you cut that cocoon open so it won't have to struggle. It's not nice to see a beautiful animal struggle, right? Do you know what happens when you do that? it dies. Because the struggle is salvific. It has to extend its wings. Its wings are wet, and you have to get all the moisture off its wings, and the only way to get the moisture off its wings so that it can actually fly is to do the hard work of getting out of the cocoon by itself. Get the parallel? Don't ask someone to cut your cocoon open, brothers and sisters. They actually might do it, which would not be good for you. Have faith in your struggle that if you do it, if you live by faith in the struggle and you set your eyes on Jesus in that race, you will receive 100-fold. You will experience metamorphosis and transfiguration because that's God's destiny. And what He's appointed is the agon of His own choosing. To Him who is wonderful in the saints, be all glory and honor now and forever. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed and have been edified by this presentation offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, a non-profit organization committed to nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers. Until next time.